us to this. Kind of astounding. According to the 2022 U.S. Census data, 18.3 million children across America live in a home without a father present. 18.3 million children live in a home without a father present. That's about one in four children are growing up without a father. An estimated 31.5% of children in America live without their biological father. 31.5% live without their biological father. And this information is a little bit dated, but this was several years back. I thought this was pretty interesting. 72.2% of the U.S. population felt at that time that fatherlessness is the most significant family or social problem facing America. The numbers even get a little bit more crazy. According to a Fox News article back in 2022, 85% of children and teens with behavioral disorders come from fatherless homes. Did you catch that? 85% of children and teens with behavioral disorders come from fatherless homes. Over 70% of all adolescent patients in drug and alcohol treatment centers originate from homes without fathers. Over 70%. Children without fathers at home are 9 times more likely to drop out of school. They represent 90% of all homeless and runaway children. You know, these numbers to me just confirm the importance of fathers in the family. Now, regardless, I know the world portrays fathers normally as doofuses who don't know anything, typically. But you know, our fathers are very important. And I realize I might say right now that Father's Day may not be the most joyous holiday that we observe in your eyes. Perhaps you had a father that was abusive, a father that didn't treat you right, a father that was not a good father. And all I can simply say to that is I'm sorry that you had to go through that. I would encourage you just to try to find something good about your dad. Probably there's maybe at least one quality you can think of. And there's those of us that our parents are already with the Lord, our dad is with the Lord. And this provides us a day. I know it may be sad in a lot of ways, but for me, I'm not really that sad. I miss him absolutely, but I know where he's at. And I'm going to see him again, but it gives us a time to remember what our dads were like. And I know that we're really sensitive about moms on Mother's Day not having children, but maybe you were a dad, that your wife was not able to have a child, and you feel that. But I encourage you. I think Father's Day is a good day to kind of step back and think about fathers. And I tell you, fathers are crucial to the family. Fathers are crucial to the family. Now, according to all these statistics, we glean that. But you know what? The Bible also tells us of the importance of the father. And this is the authority, right? And the Bible gives us basically a lot about the role of fathers. The role of a father. The title of the message today is just that, the role of a father. And some listening today are probably really good dads, really good fathers. I didn't call my dad father, I called him dad. The Bible calls them fathers, but to me it was always dad. But some listening today are really good fathers, but couldn't all of us improve? Can't we all step it up? So I'd encourage you, if you're here today and you're doing a really good job as being a dad, I think still listen up, because I think we could all do a little better. Some fathers listening today realize that they have lots of room for improvement in this area of being a father. So I'd encourage you to listen up, and I believe it's never too late to become a good father. I don't think it's ever too late to become a good father for the Lord. And quite a few of you, as I look around, are not fathers. But being Father's Day, just think of your dad and appreciate and be thankful for the things that he did right as we look at the role of a father. So listen up to God's Word. And some of you here today may someday be a father. So biblically, what does the Bible say the responsibility of fathers are? So listen up to God's word. So is everybody here listening today so far? Well, good. Put a smile on your face. Some of you act like you just lost your best friend. Smile. Okay. The role of a father. We're going to begin looking at Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. And this is going to spill over into more Sundays than just today. And the role of a father, it's going to spell out fatherhood eventually. But we're only going to look at 3 points today. The role of a father. But it is important for all of us. Really, if we can get a grip of what God really expects us fathers to be. You know, unfortunately, in many homes, the mom is the one who's serious about God and the father is off doing their own thing. That ought not be. That ought not be. As we'll talk about eventually in detail, the father is called to be the leader of the home. And as we look at these verses, hopefully, we'll get a better grasp of what the Bible. Now, in particular, out of Psalms and Proverbs and the Gospels, I looked up what does it say that a father should do? And I'm going to share that at least a few of those points with you today. The role of a father, Luke chapter 11, verses 9 to 13. We're going to start with the F in fatherhood. F, he furnishes the needs of his family. He furnishes the needs of his family. Look at Luke chapter 11, verses 9 to 13. Now, Jesus is talking about prayer. He's already given the model prayer. And he says in verse 9, "And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened." Now that's talking about going to our Heavenly Father, right? Y'all with me on that? Okay, give me a little We're going to have to establish an amen corner. Okay, John, Marcia, Jamie, and Sean, you're our amen corner, okay? We'll throw in April for good measure and Amy over there, all right? And Bill and Peg, since they're real close. So you are the amen corner. So when I look at you like this, y'all say amen as loud as you can, all right? All right, good. So when we go to our Heavenly Father, he hears our prayers, and it says, ask and you'll receive, and so forth. That's what it's talking about. But then he draws a picture up of what everyone could relate to. He says in verse 11, "If a son shall ask bread of any of you, that is a," what? "Father. Will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" You see, I believe if I look at this passage correctly, it's saying that our fathers will furnish the needs of the family. In other words, the father will provide for the family. As a picture of the Heavenly Father, it says there, "If ye then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children." You know, the father, as shown, is the one who furnishes the needs of his family in this passage. You're probably familiar with 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8. It may, in your mind, nail it down a little bit better, but in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8, notice it says, "But if any," now this is in the context talking about widows, but then it shifts a little bit and has this statement. It says, "But if any provide not for his own," that's speaking about dads, "and especially for those of his own house," it's talking about like extended family and widows and that, "but especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith." In other words, he's not living up to the faith and the beliefs that are found in God's word that he claims to believe, "and is worse than an infidel or an unbeliever." You know, one of those things that I look back at my dad that I'm thankful for, my dad was short. He was a lot shorter than I am, right, Amy? Just, I may call on you to confirm things. Remember, you're supposed to be part of the amen corner, so be excited about it, okay? So my dad was short, and I think probably at his most weighed 135 pounds, probably. I mean, a big fella, right? Really small. But one of the things that I remember about him is he provided for his family. Now, by no means were we rich. And you know, there was a lot of stretch to that paycheck, I'm sure. But my first memory was my dad was a body man. He had his own garage. I think he worked for, even before I was born, worked away some as a body man. Then he had his own garage, and he worked at that. And I remember him, you know, faithfully going to the garage. And I can still, like, I go to a body shop, those smells are still like, yeah, I remember that. But then he got on with the state park system, and he ran the tram at Hawk's Nest for years and years and retired from there. And I remember him, you know, some people just look messy any which way. I don't care. They even put on really nice clothes that look messy. My dad was just the opposite. I don't care what he put on, he always looked neat. He always looked kempt, and he'd put on that state park uniform. You know, usually the lighter shirt with the, you know, Department of Natural Resources patch on one side and the dark pants. And I remember him sitting there at the table getting ready to go to work. And why did he do that day after day after day? So that he could furnish the needs of his family. You see, that when you think back about your dad, can you remember those days as growing up as a kid, thinking back and how your dad provided? Now, again, I know there's some exceptions to that. Say, my dad didn't provide nothing. And I get that. But let's be thankful where we can be thankful and praise the Lord for the things we can praise the Lord for. You see, the first responsibility, the role of a father is to provide for his family or to furnish what his family needs. Now, I've seen some instances where that's kind of backwards a little bit. And I really think that goes against what God wants. You know, I've seen some like Mr. Moms, and then the wives go out and work and Mr. Mom stays home. I think that's really backwards. And I'll tell you the ideal situation, I believe, don't get mad at me, don't throw anything at me, but I think it's ideal if the dad can work and the mom can stay home, especially during those formative years of parenting. I think they're crucial. Now, I understand where we are. I understand. I'd like to get a hold of the people that set the inflation rate and where it's at, because they obviously are not shopping for groceries, and they're obviously not getting anything repaired, and they're obviously, I don't know what drug or what they're smoking, but when you look at those inflation numbers, I know they're a lot higher. And I say that to say this, I understand it's hard for our families. But I will say I think it's ideal if moms can stay home and raise the kids and the dads can go out and provide for the family. Now, if you can't do that, you can't do that. It's between you and God. Sometimes we think we can't. We really could if we would just put our nose to the grindstone, so to speak, and do it. But I think that's ideal. That's the route we chose, and God has blessed us immensely because of that. But you know what? The role of a father to furnish the needs of the family. Second thing, as we go through and spell out fatherhood, we'll not get very far today, but the second one is the A. He admonishes his children. He admonishes his children. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 in verses 10, 11, and 12. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 10, 11, and 12. Notice this. As Paul writes to the Thessalonian church, he's writing to them in a very personal way. He says in verse 10, "You are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe." So he's saying, you remember when I was at your church and among all the people, and I conducted myself the way I should. That's what he's saying. Verse 11, "As ye know how we," notice this is the key verse, "how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you," notice this, "as a father doth his children, that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory." Now, The word I'm looking at is that word charge. We'll look at the others at another day, but look at that word charge. As ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children. Now the idea of charge here seems to be the idea of urging along or imploring someone or pulling them along to do something. So in other words, part of the role of a father is to charge or urge or implore, admonish their children to walk worthy of God. In other words, to admonish them to do right. Can I tell you that I see some of the families today, and we pick up some of the kids on the van. And the kids, 9 times out of 10, I'll tell you, the kids want to be here. The kids want to be here more than the parents want to be here. Some of the parents, you know, hopefully, prayerfully, we'll see some of the parents come eventually. And sometimes they come to special things. Some do come. But you know what? What ought to be happening, the fathers ought to have such a walk with the Lord that they strongly encourage, they admonish, they charge their kids to say, you know what? You need to do what's right. You know what? You need to serve God. You know what? You need to be serious about this thing. But more and more what happens, dad's not serious about the Lord. So how in the world can you expect the kids to be serious about the Lord? As I've said many times, don't play dumb. Don't play deaf, dumb, and stupid as parents. You know, you're like, oh, well, I'm not going to be serious about the Lord. I'm not really going to come to church much at all. I'm just going to kind of punch my time clock and be there maybe once a week, maybe, out of 4 services. I'm not going to read my Bible. I'm not going to pray. I'm just going to, but everything is going to be good. My kids are all going to turn out good. And when it comes time, they're going to come to church, and they're going to be faithful, and they're going to help with Vacation Bible School, and they're going to do all. Can I tell you? Can I tell you? There's 2 sides of that. You can be the best, most faithful parent ever, and your kids still choose to not serve God and rebel against God. But also, you can be a parent who's barely serving God. Can I tell you that most likely, and I've seen this a lot, things wind down, not up, typically. So if you're a 1 service a week Christian, they probably won't come to church at all when they get old enough to make that decision. I'm just saying probably. According to my years in ministry, and I've been in ministry a good while now, typically they won't come at all. And if you don't read your Bible just a little bit, they probably won't read their Bible at all. You don't pray much at all, they probably won't pray at all. You see the point? Because things wind down. That's why I call it, I'm going to name it a new syndrome, okay? The deaf, dumb, and stupid syndrome, okay? Don't take offense to that. I'm just saying, sometimes parents do that. They're like, everything's going to be good. And then down the road sometimes we get these calls or get this information, or Amy reads on Facebook, pray for Junior because he's in a drug rehab program. And we're like, well, no wonder. Again, not every kid brought up right turns out right. And sometimes by the grace of God, those that weren't brought up right end up right. So I'm not throwing stones, but I'm saying it's really naive of us as Christians to say, well, I can just barely have a little bit of Jesus and they're going to be fine. I'm telling you, in this old world, they may not be fine. I mean, how many kids have come out of the closet? I mean, now they don't even worry about the closet. They're just out there flaunting it, right? How many people with drugs and alcohol and all these things? Dads, moms, come on, be parents. Dads, admonish your kids to serve the Lord. Don't just leave it to chance. I mean, urge them. Don't ever let them down by not taking them to church, by not setting an example. I mean, too many times, again, the kids want to come, and Mom and Dad, can we go? Mom and Dad, can we go? Mom and Dad, can we go? No, not today. It's no. We're not going to. Come on. one of the roles of a father to admonish their family, admonish their kids, charge their kids, urge their kids on in their service of the Lord. Now that's crucial. That's crucial. Now some of you right now, what I'm talking about is you remember your dad and you're like, yeah, that was my dad. Absolutely. That was my dad. He urged me on in my walk with the Lord. And some of you are thinking, no, he really didn't urge me. It's only by the grace of God that I'm here today. But again, let's give praise and thanks to the Lord for what we can thank him for. My dad was always a good moral guy. Wasn't so much of a church person, but through a series of events and coming to church, he got saved and baptized. Thank the Lord for that. My mom was the main one that took me to church. But I'm thankful that she did, and I'm thankful that my dad got right, and I know where both of them are right now. He admonishes his children. Chapter 6 and verse 4. Ephesians chapter 6. If you'd turn to that, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. Familiar passage. Notice what it says, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. We're still under admonishing his children. Notice this. It says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. We're going to talk about that eventually in this series. But bring them up in the nurture and, there it is, admonition of the Lord. Admonition of the Lord. This Greek word for admonition is used three times in the New Testament. It means calling attention to, or by application, mild rebuke or warning. Mild rebuke or warning. Fathers are to admonish their children, that is, charge, urge, implore, even rebuke and warn them to do right. To do right. It says right here in this passage, what's it say? Nurture and admonition of the Lord. You know, you and I as parents, but you and I as dads, we don't have to have all the answers because we know a God that does, right? And we have a book that has all the answers, right? So can't we use the Word of God to encourage, to admonish, to urge on our kids to serve the Lord? You know, I would be really skeptical if any dad today says, I got all the answers. I'd say, there's one area that's kind of a blind spot to you. Maybe it's called humility. Because I can tell you, none of us have all the answers. And all of us are a work in progress. And I want to say again, the purpose of today's message and this sermon series is not to make you leave here all beat down. The purpose of this message is to help you be the dad that God wants you to be. I mean, I'm convinced that if we get our dads right with God, in a lot of cases, our families will be right. And if our families are right, our churches will be right. And if our churches are right, our society will be right. And if our society is right, our county will be right. And if our county is right, our state will be right. And if our state is right, maybe our nation will be right. What do you think? I mean, true revival could spark if one dad in their heart says, you know what? God's speaking to my heart to be the dad that God wants me to be. And do you know what your kids might do for the Lord if you're what God wants you to be? And again, I say, you may say, preacher, I'm doing the best. Praise the Lord, you're doing the best you can. I think we can all turn it up a notch, don't you? Turn it up a notch. Today, the role of a father. He furnishes he furnishes the needs of his family. Secondly, he admonishes his children. He admonishes his children. You say, preacher, I'm still not quite sure on that admonish thing. What exactly is that saying? Now, how many of you have ever told your kids not to play in the road? Now, that's an admonishment, okay? That's an urging. Stay out of the road, Junior, right? We've told kids that. Or don't play in the fire. You know, don't touch the stove, it's hot. We tell them to wash their hands. That's urging them along in the physical way, right? So how could we admonish our kids in the spiritual realm? Read your Bible, right? Come on, get up. We're going to church. Choosing your friends carefully. Telling the truth all the time. Even to encourage them to trust Jesus as their Savior. You see, we can admonish them in a spiritual way. I remember a couple of the admonishments from my dad. He said, if you don't listen, you'll just have to feel. You ever heard that? If you don't listen. Another one that I remember somewhere from my childhood, I assume may come from my dad, I don't know. If you want to dance, you've got to pay the fiddler. You ever heard that? In other words, there's consequences for whatever you decide to do. Admonishments from dad. I'd encourage you, dads, admonish your kids. Urge your kids to serve the Lord. To serve the Lord. Today, I'm going to unplug right there for today. That's one thing about a sermon series. You can just kind of unplug and pick back up. Thought I'd covered 3 points. We're just going to cover two. But the role of a father here on Father's Day is we honor our dads. As we honor our dads, and I do encourage you, if your dad's still living, you know what I'd encourage you to do? Wish him a happy Father's Day. Would you do that? Maybe give him a gift if they're still living. If they're past, they're gone on, maybe you can thank the Lord for what you can thank the Lord for with your dad. Today, the role of a father, the F, he furnishes the needs of his family. Let me ask you a question. As a father, do you provide or furnish the need of your family? Are you putting on the pants in the family? You're called to be the leader. Are you providing the needs of your family? Question number two under that point, he furnishes the needs of his family. Are you thankful or grateful to God that your dad did or does furnish the needs of his family? Point number two in the message today, he admonishes his children. As a father, do you admonish or urge or employ or charge or even warn and rebuke that is your children to do the right thing according to God's word? According to God's word. And the second question, are you thankful for your dad that may have admonished you in the past to do what is right? I believe any way you look at it, whether it be secular fathers or whether it be Christian fathers, I think fatherhood in America is in crisis. I mean that. I don't say that lightly, but I think fatherhood is in crisis in America. But it does not have to be in your family. It doesn't have to be that way in your family. If you as a father will rise up and say, you know what, I'm going to provide the needs of my family. I'm going to admonish them, urge them, charge them, my children, to do what's right in the eyes of the Lord. Now, some are here, and I know we have quite a few. You say, well, preacher, my kids are grown. They're out of the house. But you know what, that still doesn't stop you from being their dad. You're still their dad, right? You may not have the influence that you once had as the father when they were under your roof, but guess what? You can still encourage them in their walk with the Lord. Admonish them to do right. As I said to start the message, I believe it's never too late to become a good father. It's never too late to become a good father. Today, as we are going to sing an invitational song here in just a moment, if you're here today and you're a dad and you feel God is speaking to your heart about being maybe a better dad, maybe turning it up a notch, I want you to know that the altar is open. It'd be a good thing if God is speaking to your heart. I never want anybody to come to the altar just because the preacher says we're supposed to come to the altar. But if God is speaking to your heart about being a dad and maybe there's an area or two, maybe you just need to come to the altar and say, God, I need help. I need you to be the dad that you want me to be. Can I encourage you today to come to the altar? Maybe you're just there and you're very grateful. You're not a dad, but you're grateful for the dad that you had. And you just want to come to the altar. You feel God impressing your heart to come to the altar and say, God, thank you for the dad that you gave to me. Whatever the need is. And let me tell you, if you're here today without the Lord Jesus Christ, I know sometimes people have a hard time understanding how our Heavenly Father is so great because their earthly father was so bad. But can I tell you, if you're here today and you're not sure you're on your way to heaven, I'll be somewhere down around front. Do you realize that you can get a Heavenly Father today by trusting Jesus as your Savior? And can I tell you that earthly fathers let us down, but our Heavenly Father has not let us down one time. So if you're here today and you say, Preacher, I'm lost, or Preacher, I'm not even sure whether I'm saved, whichever, I'd encourage you, come forward and say, Preacher, I want to know I'm saved. Today, you can trust Jesus, the Son of God who came to this earth to die upon the cross to pay for your sin. You can trust Him as your Savior, have your sins forgiven, be given peace and joy and purpose in life that you never thought possible. If God is speaking to your heart about being saved, would you do that? Would you nail that down today? Let's pray. Dear God, we thank You for Your Word. Lord, we don't have to look at the newspaper. We don't have to look at current events. We don't have to look at a whole lot to figure out that fatherhood's in crises. But Lord, it doesn't have to be that way in our families. Lord, help us to be the dads that You want us to be. And Lord, especially on this special day, Lord, help us to be surrendered to whatever You want us to do and be thankful, Lord, for the dads that You've given us. We pray this in Jesus' name. And Lord, all I ask is if You're speaking to hearts, that we'll say yes and come to the altar in Jesus' name.